the Transportation Committee, and present are Representatives Miller, Pierce, Hudson, and Springer. The chair is on route, and Representative Pouch is excused due to illness. Today is February 9th, and it's now 1:37. On the calendar today is House Bill 31, an act relating to registration of commercial and non-commercial motor vehicles and providing for an effective date. This bill is sponsored by Representatives Bershaw and Boucher. In your packets, you find the backup information. The bill has been received with a two-pass recommendation from the State Affairs and has been referred next to the Transportation Committee. This is the first reading of it, and you have a chance to look through your packets. There's a copy of the bill, a summary of House Bill 31, a sectional analysis, a fiscal note, I think with a zero figure, a position paper from Department of Public Safety recommending acceptance, excerpt from Alaska statutes, and excerpt from the regulations of the Department of Public Safety. You should have that in front of you. Has anybody got a question or a statement before we hear some testimony on that? Okay. We have two people signed up to testify on this bill. Representative Pat Bershaw, which is one of the sponsors, Mr. Bill Brown. Representative Bershaw, will you come forward and tell us what your feelings on that bill are?
Good bill, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. This is the same bill that passed the House last year and wound up with a lot of other bills in Senate rules after going through all the Senate committees. During that time and until today, there has been no testimony or position against the bill. It does have a zero fiscal note, and it stems from Representative Pierce and I were having a conversation before the meeting started, a classic kind of conversation that I experienced and others have, where you go to a state construction project and see a lot of commercial vehicles operating without a state plates, and the question is, why is that? The answer is, there are currently legal reasons why they can be operating under a temporary work permit to allow out-of-state vehicles to work up to 90 days in-state. And there's two immediate problems. One, they don't show anything saying that they have properly registered even for this temporary permit. And the second, of course, is the question, why should they have a temporary permit at all? By the way, they also pay pro rata fees for registration. What this bill, one of the main sections of the bill would do, would be to eliminate the distinction between resident and non-resident commercial vehicle use. If you bring a vehicle into the state, or more likely what's happening, have a vehicle in state that you're choosing to keep the registration outside because it's cheaper, easier, or whatever reason, or you might return someday, you would be, the moment the vehicle is put into commercial use, you would be required to pay full in-state registration. You'd be required to have an Alaskan plate on it. If you wanted to maintain your title outside, they could stamp it, no new title issued, and you could keep your title out of state just for ease of tracking, but you would pay full fees and have to bear a license plate with an Alaska plate on it. So you'd end your enforcement problems, and you would also end the advantage, really, in maintaining an out-of-state plate and competing with in-state firms that are paying full fees for their Alaskan plates. The only exceptions that would be retained that are currently in existence would be the one-way trip permit for an unladen commercial vehicle. There are semis and things coming off the barge that are taken on a one-way trip, unloaded to Prudhoe Bay, for example, and then used off the highway system. Permits not to exceed, I believe, 10 days would still be permitted for that, but the visibly, conspicuously displayed for the vehicle. And the second exception, which is currently in existence, is the regularly licensed ICC or FMC rigs. FMC is the Federal Maritime Commission licensing process. And as you've seen, most of the interstate trucks, they have all their licenses and tags clearly visible. They're cranked into an interstate compact fee system. And so that has not been a source of problems. They will continue to operate the way they are now. The second part of the bill addresses non-commercial use. We now have a provision in law that after you have lived in Alaska, now if you don't work, you could maintain a vehicle in the state for up to 90 days without licensing it. If you work, it's currently 15 days you have to get your vehicle license. Again, for many of the same reasons, commercial vehicles maintain licensing outside. We all know that there's a number of people who moved to the state, are here a long time before switching their plates over, or are maintaining out-of-state plates now to avoid IM inspections. So there's kind of an added incentive to not switch plates over. This bill would lower that grace period on non-working residents from 90 to 60 days, and would lower the period of the grace period from 15 to 10 days for people who come in and begin work. I think the provisions of the bill, in a very legal, constitutional way, help within the Alaska higher goals that we have now, and especially on the commercial job site vehicles. I think it'll go a long way in putting out-of-state firms on just a little bit better or a little more fair balance with in-state firms relative to licensing requirements, in addition to ease of enforcement. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Representative
Russell. Mr. Chairman, my only question is, what, if any, application this has to, say, military people assigned up here on temporary additional duty? Or at the present time, military people may select any state as their permanent state of residence.
It would have no effect on them.
No effect.
They
on
are
them.
Still another
probation.
They, it's kind of interesting that our statutes are an amalgamation in this area, and we've layered on lots of things in our statute relative to vehicle licensing. Some of those exceptions are built into the fee structure so that some things don't always show up in the statutes as exceptions, but when you go then to the fees for certain things like senior citizens, disabled people, and I think military have a different fee schedule within the statutes.
So it's handled in the fee provisions?
I believe so. Bill Brown is here from Public Safety. Maybe you can answer that more directly.
Yeah, they're specifically exempt under the Soldiers and Sailors Civil Duty.
So, Soldiers and
Sailors. Right.
Anybody else have any questions? I want to follow up on that military business. I had it down on my remarks too. As a result of that Euling Fisher World Count business, some interesting legal aspects in regards to residence came to light, and that is the drawing of permanent funds. And I'm wondering, connection with that, apparently if a military person claims a primary residence in another state under that law, they're allowed to carry the license plate of said state they claim primary residence in. I wonder, maybe that has nothing to do with that bill, but I wonder if there isn't some cross-referencing possible to the permanent fund applicants to see if they claim for license plate exemptions a primary status in some other state, and for getting permanent fund checks they claim Alaska as a primary residence.
I don't know. There are another analogy is hunting and fishing licenses, and there are cross-checks nationally on hunting and fishing licenses to see if people are claiming one state, but then applying for an in-state hunting and fishing license. Now, it gets a little more complicated on military because we recognize even military who may have in-state licenses in Texas, we still will go ahead anyway and give them a break on the licensing fee for hunting and fishing. host species of an in-state fee. There are certain big game animals that they pay a little bit more, but most of it is the same as in-state. But that's by specific statute.
Yeah, and I think in regards to hunting licenses, it gets us away from that subject, but I think in regards to hunting licenses, that primary residence is not the the trigger mechanism.
That's right. We recognize
that
they may indeed be out of state,
right.
But but
in the permanent fund dividend, there is no either or. That either they are residents here or they are not.
Right.
And if they claim license plates as a primary resident out of state and they claim a permanent fund dividend check, what would seem to me, since Social Security numbers are required in both cases, that that wouldn't be that hard in a computer age to cross-reference to find out.
You know, that's not a bad idea. The next time we see our permanent fund or our revenue people, that's a great question to put to them, whether they employ license plate as part of their cost check on people. That seems like it's something that's doable.
Okay, as a sponsor, you don't want to put another paragraph in there for permanent fund recipients.
Well, it wouldn't, for good or for bad, it wouldn't fit under this title of the bill or in this section, but
yeah, we pass it on. That's the idea. I have another question in regards to the non-commercial field. I recall back in the early 60s, I think it was, there were two requirements. One of them was if you was employed by the state, I think it became a necessity immediately to have your license plate changed. Does that enter into that?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any distinction between type of employment, whether stay employee or work for ARCO or anybody else, but it would, you have a grace period. It has been 15 days regardless of where you work, and I don't know of any special exception for the state employee.
Yeah, and that was my second deal. I think in the early 60s is what it was in 15 or 30 days. That must have been changed. It's not in the books now. So that
as far as we know, it all applies. Everybody is under this currently this 15 days, which appears in 2010-121 prior to commencement of employment. And all we're doing is just changing the day number of days from 15 to 10, not the class of people. It seems like it would have shown up in this title. And boy, we've gone through this particular title of statute a lot. I don't recall seeing that another criteria for vehicle registration for state employees. Now, again, this title has undergone a lot of changes since the 60s and early 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's that much because with all the residence requirements and all the legal cases in relation to time and residence that have been changed, I would imagine that fell under that too.
Yeah.
Representative Fuss.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's not directly applicable, but it could become, particularly if the legislation that is in the bill right now concerning licensing for boats, vessels, and things of this nature. I suspect that anyway, that may follow a licensing and certification and numbering process through basically the vehicles. It's the way they've done it in some other states like Michigan and Ohio and places like that. And in which case it has some bearing on vessels, which could have some rather interesting implications on vessels coming into the waters to do fishing for 3 to 4 months and things like that. I don't think it's a point of contention right now.
Yeah, I think motor vehicle is defined to
strictly as a land vehicle.
This motor vehicle excludes vessels. I think that's motor vessels from the definition. But again, that's an interesting.
I was thinking it might even be an interesting.
If they're fishing in waters, of course, they may argue they're outside of the 12 miles or outside of the 3 miles for part of their. You know, they're not in those waters, in state waters for.
Except that they have to have a license to fish a particular species within state waters. For example, Bristol Bay and areas like that, so it may have a rather interesting little side effect.
There is a bill, House Bill 94, in the hopper scheduled for reading next week in regards to numbering, but I don't know if that addresses...
That's the one we're talking about.
That's the one you're talking about, yeah. That's up for first reading next week. And, any more questions to Representative Rochelle?
Thank you very much.
Is there any other witnesses that want to testify on that bill? Come right forward.
Testify. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like, for the record, Representative Alice Hanley. There was an amendment that was suggested for House Bill 31, and I just met the gentleman going down the hall as I was coming up from the Department of Motor Vehicles, and it was a person in Anchorage who called me and suggested that perhaps this might be an appropriate vehicle to perhaps clean up the statute and delete one portion of the statute that has to do with purchasing used cars outside the state. And there's something now that's required. It's statute 28.10.205. And I think Mr. Bill Brown was going to testify, and I don't know if maybe the sponsor of the bill perhaps has more information on that. Has he testified?
No.
He had to go to the Senate, he said.
He did so. I can report what he said.
Okay.
Go right ahead. You are proposing an amendment, right?
The amendment that I would be proposing, and it would be the statute that I mentioned, 28.10.205, because this is also part of the title required, and what they would like to have exempted would be, so this is in the statute book, page 34, on the top of the page, after the word jurisdiction, delete, and a certificate of inspection by a peace officer of that jurisdiction stating that the vehicle has been determined to be the vehicle described in the certificate of title and that the vehicle has not been reported stolen. Basically, that was a request I had from a person in motor vehicles in Anchorage. This is something that is a complex procedure right now. It requires a great deal of correspondence on the part of the person buying the vehicle, and it's something that they're not going to be able to continue doing because of the reduced budget in motor vehicles.
Could you repeat that, please?
What to be deleted?
The area specifically that you...
Okay, and you have the statutes there, 2010.
Yes.
After the word jurisdiction, let's see, by a certificate of title issued in another jurisdiction, and the sentence would end there. So the next three lines in the statute book, and a certificate of inspection by a peace officer of that jurisdiction stating that the vehicle has been determined to be the vehicle described in the certificate of title and that the vehicle has not been reported stolen. Those were the lines that they were requesting to have deleted. Perhaps maybe the sponsor of the might.
Any questions from the committee on that?
Is it the chair's understanding that Mr. Brown will be back from the Department of Motor Vehicles?
I just saw him ooze out, and I don't know if...
I met him in the hall, and I hope...
if he's going to be back or not, Representative Porcho.
I did have an opportunity to talk with Mr. Brown about this change, and the department has no problem with it. They view it as a kind of an antiquated requirement in terms of... are in my interest in the bill, it doesn't make any difference one way or another to what we're trying to achieve. This section was just reprinted because we made one change on the previous page to add a conforming amendment. So the thrust of our bill is not affected one way or another by the commission.
Okay. Any questions?
I'm just not even sure yet what it really means. Does that mean if I want to buy a used vehicle, the seller has to, and if the vehicle originates in another state, the seller has to provide not only the title from that other state, but also a certificate of or a statement from the peace officer stating that it's not
something required,
that it's not stolen?
That's my understanding.
I wasn't even aware of that. I bought many cars without that.
I think this is a used car in a state outside Alaska.
Yeah.
That was my understanding, the way it was explained to me, that now for a person to comply, and this, it requires a
statement
back and forth between motor vehicles and the person, and it's a rather complex
yeah.
and
Tim Bruchard, you want to join us right here at the table?
I was just going to add, apparently it's this requirement of the peace officer that presents the problem, because most of their correspondence, of course, is with other motor vehicle departments, which don't necessarily have a uniformed patrolman there to go out and look at cars, and so physically getting a policeman to check the car, apparently, is a real problem.
Well, it would look to me like in a day of computer age, that physical inspection becomes fairly meaningless anyway. And if he is just looking physically for a serial number or something to certify that it is that serial number, that's one thing, you know. How do you know by any chance how long ago that was put in? It looks to me like it's something that comes from way back when we didn't have the sophistication of cross-referencing and computers and stuff like that.
Looks like it was 78,
not 83 or 84. 78 and then amendments of 83 and 84. But those looks like earlier paragraphs.
I can get this clear. And so, in other words, you would put the period after jurisdiction in, and a certificate would be the beginning that would be deleted. So it would be a period at the end of line 9 and the deletions of 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Exactly. Yes.
That just deletes line 10 through 13, right?
Right. Although we would have, in order of this bill, what we'd have to do is put brackets around it
right.
And underline it so we can actually delete it from the statute.
Right.
I guess I would move that amendment, Mr. Chairman.
On the surface, would the sponsors have any problem with that?
No.
I like to hear yet what the public safety people have to say about it, and maybe the staff can check that out, and then we just put it on Wednesday's calendar that. Day after tomorrow, we should have an answer back. I don't see offhand any problem either. I would feel more comfortable knowing why it was put in the first place. There must have been some problem in it. I would suspect that it was way back earlier in statehood days or something like that, because that's what it smells like when they wanted an interstate some piece of paper. Nowadays, with the computer, they do that with a fast transmission.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I suspect that you're probably right. It probably was put in there back in the early days when there might have been a lot of stolen cars that were delivered within the state of Alaska, and they probably tried to make certain that no licensing would take place until, you know, they had some certain statement by peace officers that this was indeed the vehicle that they said it was going to be and that it was not a stolen vehicle. But I think you're right in that certainly that kind of information is available by computer today.
Okay. Are there any further questions or discussion? Or anybody else wants to make a statement? Then we amend House Bill 31 as stated by Representative Hanley with the concurrence of one of the sponsors, Representative Pershaw. And we continue discussion on that and calendar it for Wednesday after we have the first reading on House Bill 94. That gives you a chance to get back with your co-sponsor voucher if he sees any problem, and staff will get a chance to get with the public safety people to see if they have any problem with it. Any?
I don't think we'll be able to put it on the calendar until next Monday at the earliest, because we have to be on the committee calendar.
I don't think so.
Now you can.
No, it's just a continuation of already calendar bill, so we just have to. We can continue it.
Excuse me.
Okay, if we don't have any further discussion or comments, we adjourn at 2:02.
That is coming in, huh? Chartering in.
It's too late now.
Yeah.
That's right.
So move fast, you don't get back, right?